Okay, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to consider some truths that you know and are established. But we're going to remind ourselves, which is a good thing to do. Did I say 1 Peter or 2 Peter?
2.
Boy, it's 2 weeks in a row. I got it right. 2 Peter chapter 1. Last week, if you'll remember, we looked at the first part of this chapter and considered some things regarding that, that like precious faith. And it's really precious on so many levels. When you consider the work that went into bringing to pass the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning in Genesis 3, where God worked. See, and there were times where it almost looked like it wasn't going to work, but it was going to work because God said it was going to work. And boy, God brought that to pass. And then the cost in terms of the Heavenly Father, you know, in whom is no darkness, to watch His Son have to go through the things that He went through. And for the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to sacrifice Himself in such a really a horrific and despicable and humiliating fashion, which is what He did on our behalf. But it's also precious because of what it's done for us. You know, it's turned us, because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we are believing on Him, has turned us from death to life. We've got eternal life. And we're going to read a little bit about that this morning. But we've got eternal life. You know, what is that worth? We've overcome death. When you think about the benefits that we have in our walks today, that's just temporary stuff. It's just temporary. The whole point of this is what's coming in the future, the return of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? So that makes it precious. This is something we never want to take for granted. We never want to allow ourselves to become nearsighted, like we read about last week. You know, and then we saw how we've been delivered. We've been given that divine nature by that believing on Jesus Christ. And we're delivered from that corruption that's in the world. We're delivered from it. That's not who we are. Isn't that something? We've been rescued out from that. See? And because that's not who we are, and because we have God's divine nature born within, it goes on to talk about those attributes that we can add, that we can furnish our believing with. And we can do that because of the life that's born within. Isn't that cool? You know, you add to these things, you know, virtue and all these different things that we read about last week. And the end of that is that Jesus Christ is going to richly, richly furnish us an entrance into His kingdom. Ah! Isn't that something? And the whole thing is by grace. The whole thing is by grace. And we can do the things that we read about in the first part of that chapter because of grace and by grace. See? It's just incredible. So those are some of the things that we looked at last week. So I want to pick it up. You know what? Let's just read. I'm going to read those verses and then we'll start again in verse 12, okay? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature,
having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacks these things is blind. He can't see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall or stumble. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ah. Verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or right. It's right as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Wow, isn't that something?
They knew and were establishing these truths, yet Peter, and really, it's really the purpose of these epistles, which you can read about in chapter 3, was to stir them up by reminding them of these truths. And that's what he begins to do. And when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, here's Peter, and he was shown that he was going to put off this tabernacle. He was going to, the word that's used here, the word for decease is the word for depart. And it's a euphemism. It's to leave your presence. See? Jesus Christ showed him that he would put off this tabernacle. And that word tabernacle, it's a tent. It's a tent. Chew on that for a minute. See, because it's going to come up as we read here. It's just a tent. It's not permanent. Isn't that something? That's not the point. This life and this body that we have, as wonderful as it is, it's just temporary. It's just a tent. We're going to read. I want to take you into 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But put a ribbon here because we're going to come back. Matter of fact, keep your ribbon here because we're going to jump a little bit today. But I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it's just beautiful. Because it speaks in a very, very similar way. I'm going to start in verse 16. And it lists a number of things that these men stood through in making known the gospel and different things and how God worked in them and God watched over them, cared for them. But in verse 16 it says, "For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Isn't that beautiful? While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. These verses talk about the lightness of our affliction.
and comparing it to the weight of glory that's in the future. And so often, you know, when we lose sight of some of these truths, we make this life heavy. We make this life the weight. You know what I mean? We do that sometimes. And what the Word is teaching us and what we want to constantly remind ourselves of is what we have coming. What's going to happen in the future. That weight of glory. And this stuff is just temporary. It's temporary. And it's so cool because we know that that's the truth. That Jesus Christ is coming back. It's really something. But let's keep reading. So we look at the things that are not... For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tent were dissolved, we have a what? A building of God. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Isn't that beautiful? It's just a beautiful illustration. You know, and that's the truth of God's word. This is a tent, and the body, that which we're going to have coming at the return of Jesus Christ, is a building. It's permanent. And that's the point of the illustration. Temporary, permanent. See? It's just so awesome. Mm. For in this situation, in this tent, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Isn't that great? If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And the word naked, it's part of this illustration. And what it means is to have neither one, which would simply mean to fall asleep. But you know what? That's all covered in Christ, isn't it? That's right. Because those who have fallen asleep at the return of Jesus Christ are going to get up. Ha! Isn't that great? You know, and what's being said here is, but wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome just to be changed now? See? It would be. But really, there's no advantage when it's all said and done. You know, because we're all going to be gathered with Jesus Christ. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, verse 4, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that clothed again, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. See, I love that. I love that. You know, we have life, we have soul life, but when it's here, when it's compared to, it's mortality compared to life. That's real life. Never again subject to death. Never again subject to some of the things that we endure in this tent today. Isn't that something? That's what's coming. Mortality swallowed up of life. It's like one of those cartoons. Whenever I read that verse, it's like the big fish swallows the little one. No more little one. Verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us, for the self-same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, the pledge, the deposit of the Spirit. That's why we're always confident. Isn't that awesome? See? You know, God is the one that wrought us for this. This is what he wanted. This was the point. He was going to undo what Adam did. And then, on top of that, he gave us the deposit, the proof of his Spirit, that these things will absolutely come to pass. Ah! Isn't that something? All because we believed on Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Let's go back. And I know you kept your ribbon there, so this is going to be quick. 2 Peter. 13, yea, I think it meet right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle or tent, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Isn't that something? Just his concern for the word of God continuing to live in the hearts of these saints. You know, it's really something. You know, when I read this, you think back, and we're going to look at a couple of gospel records in a moment, but you think back to Peter, you know, when went from denying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something. You know, and then the record where Jesus Christ, when they came back, and I think it was after he'd sent the 12 out, and they came back, and in the interim he had sent out the 70, but he says, I beheld Satan as lightning from heaven. Then he says to Peter, Satan's desire to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. Strengthen your brethren when you're converted. That was the prayer. That's what we're reading here. Isn't that something? It wasn't that Peter's perfect. He was just a man, just like we are. But he stood. And here he is near the end of his life. And his concern, what he's after, what he's going to commit himself until his falling asleep, is to do everything he can to see that the Word of God continues to live and be believed. Just so awesome. Moreover, again, verse 15, I'll endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were, and just pay attention, this is really awesome, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty or his magnificence. We were eyewitnesses of that. We saw it. For he received from God the Father honor, glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Keep your finger here. We're just going to look at a record. There are a couple of parallel records we're not going to take time with, but I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 17. This is incredible. It's incredible that these men had the opportunity to see this, but what, when you begin to understand the horrific things that Jesus Christ would have to endure in his sacrificing himself on behalf of all mankind and to pay the price for all men's sins, in this record, what God by revelation is doing for his Son. It's just, it's incredible. You know, because you can read in Hebrews where it talks about for the joy that was set before him. And here, that his loving Father is just helping to set that joy before him. Because what he was going to go through was just unbelievable. Really something. Matthew 17. Verse 1, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. That word transfigured, it's only used 4 times in the Word. You know this word. It's that word metamorpho. And it's used in Luke regarding this same event. This same record, it's used in Romans, that you might be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's used, it's in 2 Corinthians, I think 2 Corinthians, where it's beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord and changed from glory to glory. See? And it's just incredible. You know, and the context there, when you look back in that context, it's, you know, the law was glorious. Just glorious. But when compared to the Spirit that came, it was like death. That's something.
What you and I have today is glorious. It's incredible. But we'll compare it to the glory that's going to be revealed. Isn't that something? Change from glory to glory. And what we're seeing here is Jesus Christ, he was a pretty glorious guy. He did some things. Always did the will of the Father. He's going to change in this record. It's just
so incredible. I forgot where I was. 17. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. One of the other Gospels records says it was whiter than any fuller could ever make it. Just super white. And then it says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then verse 4 says, then answered Peter. Now, when you put this together with the other gospel records in Luke and in Mark, one of the other gospel records says they were heavy with sleep. They were heavy with sleep. They were sleeping. When Jesus Christ was transfigured and Moses and Elias appeared, that's what they woke up to. Can you imagine? It's like, hello! His face like the sun, white. That really would have been something to see. Then answered Peter, nobody asked him a question, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. You know, sometimes when you just kind of wake up, you're a little out of it. I'm gonna give Peter a little room here. Can you imagine just having woke up and, you know, seeing Jesus Christ in his magnificence, in his glory, and to see that? So he answers. He says, let's build 3 tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them. Arise and be not afraid. Isn't that something? They fell down out of fear. I mean, it was incredible. What they had seen, then this voice from heaven. You know, there's another record years later in the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, verse 17, where John received revelation and looked behind him to see who the voice was. And it was Jesus Christ. And his face shone as the sun. And he said, and I fell down as a dead man. His eyes were like fire, you know. The description is just beautiful. His hair was like wool. His feet were like, you know, brass in a furnace fire, whatever it says. But he fell down at his feet. Really something. So they fell on their face afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, don't be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. See? Isn't that something? There's another gospel record where he says this. He says, you tell this to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And it says, and they kept him from themselves. But what they did was, is they questioned among themselves. Peter, James, and John, they questioned among themselves what this rising from the dead must mean. That's something. We're still figuring it out. You know, just trying to. And I can understand that. These weren't stupid men. They were great men. But, you know, it was so incredible what was going on. I mean, they were right here with the Redeemer of mankind. They're walking with them. It's like,
I mean, any one of us would look a little slow next to Jesus Christ, right? So, you know, these men were wonderful. But anyway, let's go back to 1 Peter. Or 2 Peter. 2 Peter, I was bound to do that. 2 Peter chapter 1. Aren't these great things just to read? You know, Jesus Christ in his glory, and they got to see that, and Jesus Christ got to see that.
Right.
Ugh, it's just, it's incredible.
I'm going to read 17 again. For he received from God the Father honor, glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, and it should read here, in your hearts, as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise. You take heed in your hearts. And this word dark, in a dark place, it's a word that means dismal, dirty. That's something. So it's drawing a picture here. It's a beautiful illustration. You know, picture a place that's just dismal, dark, dirty, and there's a light. See, that's the illustration. Cling to that light until the morning. Waiting for morning. That's something. And what the illustration that's being drawn here is, cling to God's word. You cling to this like you would a light in a dark, dismal, dank, dirty place. And wait. Hold on to that. And that's something. That's a more sure word of prophecy. You know, and when you look at the word and you cling to the word, we heard of manifestations. You know, the word is the way to my heart. I have given you this word. That's what we have. That's what we have to hold on to. That's why the word of God is just the biggest deal in the world. It really is. I'll tell you, the word of God imparts life. The vision of Jesus Christ being changed into his glorious body does not do that. Right? That's right. See, the word of God is life. The word of God results in our having spirit, our having eternal life, all of these things. And as wonderful as witnessing, being eyewitnesses of his majesty. See, what we have is so much more. And we're going to be eyewitnesses of his majesty for like all eternity, right? So it's like, boom. It's like cake and eat it too and have some more ice cream. The whole nine yards, right? And all that Jesus Christ is given to do, everything that he is, all the duties, all the things that he is given to discharge in the ages to come, by God, we will be with him. So we cling to this word. We hold on to this word as unto a light that is in a dark, dismal, dank place. Isn't that something? It's a beautiful illustration. Knowing this, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of one's own interpretation, because it's the word of God. Because it's the word of God. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by what? By Holy Spirit. It's God's word. It's God's word. You know, many writers, one author in Hebrews, and I love it. I just love it. The subject of God's word from Genesis 3 on is Jesus Christ. Many writers, one subject, Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. All the prophecies, those exceeding great and precious promises regarding the Christ have come to pass in that we've been given the divine nature of God. It's pretty awesome. And then you read in Hebrews where Jesus Christ says, lo, it is written in the volume of the book regarding me. That's something. Many writers, one volume. Okay. Many writers, one Holy Spirit, and one subject. And that subject is our Lord Jesus Christ, who we will be with for all of eternity. Isn't that awesome? So, amen?
Amen.
It's a great chapter. But it's
still, yeah. The blinking light.